series that we've been in for the last 6 weeks. This is our seventh week. Made for more, made for more. And the idea of the whole series is that God wants to use you, wants to use you. That really the best use of your life and all that God has given you and blessed you with, your talents, your abilities, your experience. I mean, the best way to use your life is in service to Him. To see God do miracles through you, to touch other people's lives, to make a difference for His name's sake in somebody else's life. It doesn't get any better than that. And so you have experiences, educational experiences, painful experiences, spiritual experiences. I mean, you have experience. God wants to use that. You have spiritual gifts from God to teach, exhort, exercise mercy, administrate, lead, on and on. Spiritual gifts. God wants you to use those. And you have your personality, and you have your abilities beyond, and so all of it made for more. The good works that God wants you to move into. Now, I want to talk to you in particular today from Genesis 50 on this theme, that if we're going to be able to continue being effective for God with all the gifts and experiences and talents He's given us, then we have to be rightly related to other people. Best we can. Wouldn't you agree? If you're not rightly related to other people, if there's conflict in your relationship with them, you know, there's some turmoil, there's some division, there's hurt, and it hasn't been worked through, resolved. I mean, if you have that going on in your relationships, it drains you, it distracts you, pulls you away from the joy. You know, for some of you here today, I hate to tell you this ahead of time, but I'm going to bring up some things. I don't mean to, but they're going to come up, of people, of stuff that's happened in your life, of things you sort of shove to the side, but that God really wants to sort of get at and bring you freedom from that. I mean, if you have had hurts in your life, and everybody in here has, then those can become burdens. They can become burdens. You want it to be right. You don't know how to make it right. You know you're supposed to forgive, but you don't want to forgive. You know, as a matter of fact, it's like those people, when they come to your mind, you're like, I can't stand them. If I was going to be honest with you, I can't stand them. I hope I never see them. And it takes a lot of energy, a lot of energy. So God wants us to be right with them. Now, we're talking about Joseph in this series. Joseph from Book of Genesis, one of the sons, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And Joseph has a lot of hurt in his life. He has a lot of hurt in his life. His brothers were jealous of him. He's the second to the youngest, not the youngest, but second to the youngest. Joseph had visions from God, dreams from God. His brothers were very jealous of those dreams. Joseph was treated with favoritism by his father, Jacob, and his brothers hated that. Don't show favoritism to one of your kids. I mean, it creates, you know, sibling tension. Joseph's dad liked Joseph better than his brothers. It was obvious. They hated him. And so they were going to kill him. Okay? They were going to kill him. But one of the brothers said, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. So they sold him. I mean, I've got two brothers and we've had conflicts and we had rivalries growing up and we, you know, went at it as brothers do. But none of my brothers ever tried to sell me, you know? Like as a slave, and I would never think of doing it to them. His brother, Joseph's brother, sold him. I mean, there's some pains that people have that are like that. I mean, it's like abuse, you know, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, affairs that people have, divorces, abandonment, all kinds of deep pain. People have lied about you. They betrayed you. You thought they were friends. You thought they were, you could trust them, and what you trusted them with, they used against you. I mean, so it goes on and on. And I know, I just being a pastor now for a while, I could tell you, I could go every one of you, and you tell me about the deep hurts, the deeper ones, and the betrayals and stuff you're still trying to process, you know, with a family member, with a close friend, you know, with somebody that you've worked with. You're still Okay, so God, I'm hoping through what we learned from Joseph, is going to give you some encouragement today and some help. So, because when those relationships are dealt with, you're going to be freer and you're going to have more joy to be used by God. It says in verse 15 of Genesis 50, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." Now look at this verse. These are Joseph's brothers. To give you the history, they sold Joseph when he was 17 years old. When he was 30, Joseph moved down to Egypt. And then when Joseph was 39, his brothers came to Egypt where Joseph was to buy food. Initially, Joseph didn't reveal himself. Then he revealed himself to his brothers. And there was a big reconciliation and weeping and all of that. Then they went and got Dad and Benjamin. They brought Dad down and they've settled. And actually, the famine's over by the time we get to Genesis 50. And because Jacob, when he dies, is 17 years older than he's 147. He was 130 when he showed up at Egypt. So this is 17 years after the family is all reconciled. And the brothers, when Dad dies, as it says here, Dad dies, they're thinking to themselves, well, maybe now Joseph's going to turn on us. It's like Dad was holding everybody together, you know, as dads tend to do, or moms, and they hold the family together and keep everything from exploding. And now that Dad is gone, Joseph may turn around and get even with us for selling him and robbing him of 13 years of his life. So they decide what they're going to do. The brothers decided what they're going to do is they're going to make up something that Dad said just before he died. So they sent a message to Joseph saying this, your father gave this command before he died. It's not actually true, but they are making this up. Like Dad, right before he died, Joe, said, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sins because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Dad said, Joe, you know, right before, I mean, just minutes before he closed his eyes in sleep and went to be with the Lord, right before he said, to tell you to forgive us. That's what he's saying. And because they're afraid now that Dad's gone, Joseph's going to all of a sudden turn on him, you know? And it says that when Joseph heard this, he wept as they spoke to him. And I think that's significant because it says where Joseph's at. I mean, Joseph is tender towards his brothers. Joseph truly has given what they did to him over to God. He's truly trusting God that God used all of that pain in his life together for good, and he's able to respond and love them. He's not out to get even with them. He's given that over to God. He's not looking for an opportunity for revenge. And so he's tender. His heart is not hard. His heart is not embittered. His heart is not full of hate. It's really a tender heart, soft heart that can respond to God. And that's where you and I need to be if we're to be used by God, made for more. We're to have that tender, responsive heart to love others and to want the best even for those who have hurt us and to be able to pray for them and ask God to work in their life. I mean, that's how free God wants us to be. Because when you're holding on to things and you're bitter, and there's revenge there, it just hardens your heart. And it not only hardens you towards the person that hurt you, but it kind of hardens you in general. It makes worship difficult. It's like your heart, you're trying to worship God, but you just feel weighed down. And because of the anger you have and you're holding on to, when you come in the room, everybody goes, whoa, man, we can feel it. I mean, you know, coffee's not hot, and you're like flying off the handle. It's like, settle down, you know? stuff's happening in you. I mean, God wants you to be trusting him so that you can respond. This is the fifth time that Joseph has cried and wept. He wept when he first saw his brothers. He went out of the room. And then when Benjamin came, he fell upon Benjamin's neck and cried on Benjamin's neck. And then when his dad came down, he cried with his dad. And then he cried with all of his brothers. And now he's crying again, five times. All of it says, this guy is like giving it to God in a beautiful, beautiful way. So how's Joseph going to respond to this? Please forgive us, Dad said. We did evil to you, and now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your fathers. What is Joseph going to say? Look what he says in verse 18. After his brothers came and bowed down to him, they said, we're your servants. This is what Joseph said. Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? This is huge. Look, you guys are bowing down to me. You're asking me to forgive your sins that you obviously committed against me. You're asking me to do all this. And all I want to say to you is that's between you ultimately and God, not between you and me. So I will not be in the place of God. Of course I will forgive you. Of course, I'm not God. I don't have that right to not. I'll make a point of this in just a minute. Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me. You did. You were evil. But God meant it for good. You see, when you go to release something to God, a hurt, when you go to forgive somebody and cancel a debt, when you do that, you have to admit what happened. You can't deny it. You know, Joseph is not denying anything here. He's saying, you meant it for evil. You guys sold me as a slave. I mean, you made money on me. 20 pieces of silver they gave you for me. And then for 13 years, you know, I went through it. I was in jail. I was falsely accused. I mean, you robbed me of 13 years of my life. But while you meant it for evil, God did something through it. Amazing what God did through that. It changed me and brought me here, and it's amazing. See, when you forgive somebody, though, you don't deny what happened. You don't explain it away. Like, oh, you wouldn't have done it if you weren't so stressed, you know? You don't explain things away. You don't minimize things. You don't condone things. You say it, you know, you did it. But I'm not stuck there. I'm not going to stay there. I see now what God has done in my life through it. What you meant for evil, God meant for good, to bring about many people, that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I'll provide for you and your little ones. And thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. He does good to them. That's amazing. This is amazing. Dad's dead. This could be an opportunity for Joseph to even the score, and he doesn't. He goes the opposite of that. He says, I'm going to do good to you, provide for your little ones. He speaks kindly to them. I mean, Joseph's in a power position, prime minister over all of Egypt. I mean, he could do anything he wants, and I'm going to take care of you guys. Don't fear. Don't fear. Well, let me give you a few things to jot down here. When it comes to those people in your life that have hurt you, they've hurt you. And maybe they come to mind right now. And I say, who are they? You know, they come to mind. They just come to mind. And maybe it's really recent. Maybe it's in your past. And you maybe you've had a hard time moving on from it. Maybe you thought you were moving on from it, but pastor bringing it all up sort of making you mad right now, okay, thinking about it. And you don't quite know what to do about it. Let me give you a few principles. Here's the first one. Let God deal with those who have hurt you. Okay? Sort of like take that man, that woman, that group of people. Just take those people and like just let God deal with them. That's what Joseph says. All right? He says, do not fear, for am I in the place of God. See, I want you to understand from Scripture that getting even with them, bringing about justice with them, settling the score with them is not what God's calling you to do. He's not calling you to do that. That's what He does. He does. In Scripture, in the New Testament, it says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If they're thirsty, give him to drink. In doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. Bless those who curse you. Bless and curse not." You say, okay, I like that, but God, vengeance belongs to God. Okay, I get that. But what if God's soft on them? Then what are we going to do? I know God's going to be easy on them, you know? I can't let that happen. I just can't let that happen. And so it's draining you. You're trying to figure out what to do with them and how to figure this all out. Listen. Resign as CEO of the universe. Resign as sovereign God, you know, of heaven and earth. Resign. And the Scripture says for you, it's okay. There's justice at the highest level. Put that in your notes. Remember that. There is justice at the highest level. But it's not yours to decide. It's not yours to deal with. God wants you free. Joseph was able to say to his brothers, listen, I know you're coming to me, and I'm not going to give you revenge. And that puts me in the place of God. That's not my place. Because all sin ultimately is between a person and God. God himself defines what sin is. Sin is crossing a boundary of what God has said is right and true and holy. What is sin? It's going against what God has said. So sinners appear not before each other, but before a holy God. And they will have to give an account to God. They don't appear before you or before me. So let God be God. Sound good? He'll work in their life however he's going to work in their life, and he'll work in your life however he's going to work in your life. This is too much of a heavy weight for you to carry around. Too much of a burden for you. It's dragging you down. It's keeping you from the joy. It's keeping you from a tender heart. It's keeping you from being used fully by God. You need, and you say, you don't know how bad it is. I had somebody I talked to, I gave a message, a sermon, a number of years ago now on forgiveness. And he came up to me afterwards, and he kind of pointed his finger at me, and he said, I will never forgive what they did to me. I will never. Right after a sermon like this. And he left the church. Left the church. Gone. Because I talked about this. So in my mind, so I'm like praying for him, okay? Praying for him. It says a couple of things about him. Number one, he doesn't know himself very well. I mean, you extend grace to another person when you understand how much grace God's extended to you. He didn't know himself very well, and he obviously did not know the forgiveness of God. Because when you know the forgiveness of God for yourself, and you know who you really are, and somebody else needs forgiveness, you give them the overflow of what you've received. So he said, "Done, you know. I'm out of here." I would say, you know, to give it over to the Lord and to let it go and sort of put it at his feet, it has to be coming from your own heart where you know how gracious he's been to you, how forgiving he's been to you. So let him deal with the hurt or to the person. And then secondly, maintain a wide angle view of life. It says in Genesis 50:19, Joseph says, "As for you, you meant evil against me. You really did. But God meant it for good." God meant it for good. You know, Joseph was able to have a wide angle. He wasn't focused like a laser on the hurt. Some of you are there. You know, you're like focused on the hurt. I can't get over it. Somebody after the last service said, those people that hurt me are so narcissistic, they will never apologize. They don't even see they did anything wrong. Narcissism. I go, no, most people aren't going to see their part in it. But you get laser focused on the hurt and the pain. And I'm just suggesting to you what Joseph did was he took a broader view and he saw God's working through all of it. You sold me, you hurt me, you rejected me, you left me for dead, you abandoned me. But you know what I found out in that time? I found out that God never abandons us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I see now how God worked together for good in that situation because you abandoned me, but he didn't. And that's the strength of my life right now, trusting him for that. You know, I was in jail because of false accusations, and I hated it, and I waited over 2 years before getting out. But in that waiting, I learned that God's timing is so important, and he always moves and comes through at the perfect time, and he did, and I trust his timing. I've got a wide-angle view. What you did to me, how you hurt me, God used. The man that did Eve and I's wedding 30 years ago. I know. I don't look that old. She certainly doesn't. I know. You don't have to say anything. But the guy that did our wedding, dear man, we love him so much. And, we got to know him. And he shared, like, he grew up, his parents, to keep him from, you know, parents don't want their kids to run off. And so out front of the house, to keep him from running off, they had a dog collar on him with a chain, and they would just chain him. So he could only go so far. He grew up with that kind of abuse, you know. And beyond that, a lot of other things. It's really painful. Every right to be bitter against his parents, you know, and to hate that. And so, but he's like Joseph. He's tender, and he's, you know, like, I'm like, well, tell me, I mean, how did you deal with that? And he says, God, everything his parents did to him, he's learned to be a good parent. You just do the total opposite. It's like, I learned through that, like, to do everything opposite of what my parents did. And it's made me a good parent. But beyond that, I'm sure he learned about God's provision and strength and comfort. And can you open yourself up to say to the Lord, show me God. How you're working in my life, how you have worked in my life, how you've worked through this situation. Will you show me so that I have a wide angle? See, this verse, Genesis 50 and verse 20, where he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. This verse is the Romans 8:28 of the New Testament. Genesis 50 here. It's Romans 8:28 in the New Testament. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Whom he foreknew, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. To conform us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. God works all things together for good to make us, conform us, change our life, make us like Jesus. Only God can do that. Only God. Some of the greatest times of loneliness in your life and pain and rejection and times where you were misunderstood and blamed for things you didn't do and criticized, those things, times that you grow, but you know what? You identify. There's a great thing for those of you who have suffered like this. You identify with Jesus. You actually know the heart of Jesus more because Jesus went through all of that. I mean, he was beaten up, he was abused, falsely accused, left by though his close followers, his friends, they deserted him. He was nailed to a cross. When you come to God and you say, oh, Lord, I feel lonely, I feel abandoned, I feel betrayed, I feel hurt, and I feel like I have enemies and they've increased and they're not for me. And Jesus says, I understand you. And you say, oh, Jesus, you know what? I feel like I know you better. and God's grace is extended to you, and you are closer, more intimate with Jesus. See, it's the wide angle view. And I've told you in this series, and I'll tell you again, God will finish the work He's begun in you. He will. Now, third thing, and we can't get to this until we deal with the first two things. Do good to those who have hurt you. Some of you are saying right now, okay, that's, you've said enough. That you're going too far now here. Okay, I understand maybe giving them to God. I can give them a little, I can give most of them to God. And I understand the wide angle. Okay, you know. I've gotten some good out of it. Okay. Do good to them. So don't fear, Joseph said, I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You know, Jesus said it, that we are to do good to those who hurt us. Even in that Romans 12, beginning in verse 19, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him the drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. You go, oh, good, that sounds good, you know? Feeding him, giving him something to drink, I'm going to heap burning coals on his head? Good, let's do that. But that's not what that means. It wouldn't fit the context at all if it meant that, right? Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. If you look at the book of Psalms and how it's used, the burning coals on the head, it was a sign of contrition and of shame and of turning one's life around. Here's what he's saying. You love on them and it's powerful. It's powerful. I mean, they'll face themselves and it'll bring them to a point of shame and turning to God. You will heap burning coals on them as you'll bring them to shame. And then the next verse, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. I mean, Jesus always turns things upside down, right? I mean, it's always upside down. He's saying what we need to do is pray for people that we would like to, you know, slap, and feed people that we'd like to, you know, abandon forever, and give them drink and pray for them. Pray for them. What Jesus is really getting at is saying, be like the way God is with you. Imitate God. I mean, think about where you and I are. Or some of you, you know, have yet to come to Jesus. But when you came to Jesus, where were you at? You know, I mean, God has saved us not because we deserved anything or we earned anything. He saved us by grace and mercy when we were enemies of God. Yet we're to love one another the way God loves us. God has done good for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. He was good to us because of His nature and because of His mercy and His grace. Not just good to us, Jesus gave His life on the cross as a substitute for us. Jesus paid the penalty that would have otherwise been doled out to us. He took upon Himself our sin. We're to imitate Him. Imitate Jesus. And forgive as He has forgiven. Do good. Do good. You say, well, how much good? I don't know. Start somewhere. Okay? Just start somewhere. And you can't start here, though. You've got to start with resigning as God and let God be God. You got to start there. It's like they belong to God. I mean, they're gods. You start there, and then you get the wide-angle view of things where you see that God's hand's been involved and is involved, and then you do good to them. You can do good to them by praying for them. You can do good to them by greeting them, saying hello to them. You can do good to them by acknowledging their birthday on Facebook. Okay? Even though you're not feeling it, but just, you know what I mean? Acknowledge them. Like a few things they do. I'm not saying everything, but a few things. Do good to them. I think that if you can Pray for them. It'll soften your heart and it'll help you. Now listen, you know, we're the family of God here, okay? This is the church is the family of God. And when we're forgiving each other, I mean when we're unified, boy, this thing's going. It's what God wants it to be. When our relationships are right and the church is unified, the Spirit of God's among us and a lot happens. But for that to happen, we need to be able to forgive all kinds of things. I mean, there's the smaller stuff. You know, somebody doesn't let you finish your sentence and they interrupt you and they're rude. Somebody at church just passes you by in the lobby and doesn't even say hi to you. And you're so bugged by that, you don't say hi to the next three people that go by you. And it's just, you know. There's a lot we just bear with. The scripture says, bear with one another. Bear with one another. Be patient with one another. Forgive one another. There's a lot of little slights. People cut you off in the parking lot. And you're trying to praise the Lord and they cut you off. And, you know, we just let go of all kinds of things. But then there's the deeper stuff, right? I mean, not just the little slights and mild insults. There's the deeper betrayal. And that's where God wants you to be free. And that's where God wants you to see even that He's worked through and He will work through. You need to feel His grace in your life first, though. Let's pray together. I want you to just pray with me. And maybe you're just thinking about those people or that person or that circumstance, that son, that daughter, that coworker, that relative, the person you shared your life with, and it all came back on you, and it's like, it hurt. It hurts. Okay, it really hurts. Would you just pray right now in your own heart, say, God, show me how you're working even in that. Show me how you're teaching me a lot about your grace for me and your mercy for me. And then would you just picture the Lord Jesus holding you and together with Him, would you just give that hope, that situation, that person, give them to God and say, Lord, who am I? You're Lord. Help me though, Jesus. And maybe you're here and you've never come to Christ. I want to invite you right now. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you can't give to others what you don't possess. You'll never be able to forgive other people until you yourself have been forgiven. And so if that's you and God's prompting in your heart, confess your sin to Him. Just say, Lord Jesus, save me. I know I need saving. I know I fall short. I'm a sinner. Oh, I want to know your mercy and love and come into my life. And then help me, God, to forgive and to let go. So that I can be free. I can be free. Lord, thank you. And may our church be characterized by joy and peace and love and forgiveness of one another. So that the Spirit is free to flow in this place in a powerful way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.